You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
So let's jump into this new sermon series together. Presence. What's interesting is that the word presence has gone through massive amounts of changes. As I was going through, and I'm just going to have some fun with it, I don't even know if this is a true word as it ties into it, but the morphology, the morphing of this word, the word presence comes from a Latin word, which means to physically be where someone you are at and to present yourself. It means that you are being and you are giving of yourself at the exact same time. In other words, when you are physically present, you are being there and you are giving of yourself. What's also interesting is in the 1700s, there was a French word that has to do with the word presence that's closer to the word gift. As we come into English, the word presence of being physically somewhere and the word gift start to intersect and come into each other. In other words, when you present somebody a present, spelled exactly the same way, you are giving of yourself to them. In other words, you are being with them through a gift. This holiday season, we are going to purchase items that we're trying to use to communicate to other people, I'm with you, and here's a gift of me to you, a present. How beautiful that is, that God gave us a present with the presence of his son. But I don't want to jump all the way to the Christmas story just yet. I want to go all the way back to Genesis. And I want to let you know something really important that we have to put together inside of our minds and our brains, is we can't believe that God's presence has been absent from the world until Jesus is born. That gets us into some serious trouble, theologically, emotionally, mentally. It just gets us in trouble. I want you to go back to Genesis and recognize when the earth was created, the Holy Spirit hovered over the expanse. The Holy Spirit was present, and God said to the Trinity, let us create. And God spoke, and he said, let us create man and woman, and created all of the earth and everything in it and all of its abundance, and said that it is good. God is present from the beginning. He just has chosen to reveal himself in different ways through different times. Jesus, the Messiah, the physical representation of God on earth as man, is seen in many times throughout the Old Testament scriptures in Christophanies, moments where Jesus shows up and he reveals himself and he shows himself. Even before we run into Jesus being born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem from Mary and Joseph, we have Jesus who gives his presence and gives his gift to the world. And one of the things that's really cool about Jesus is when Jesus shows up, Jesus changes everything. When Jesus walks into a room, the room is different. When Jesus walks into a town, the town is different. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about somebody in your life who their physical presence changes everything. And I want you to put it into the Facebook live feed. I'd love you to put their name in there. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to think about somebody whose presence in some ways is larger than life. I want you to think about somebody whose presence allows you to understand that you feel safe, you feel comfortable, you feel loved, you feel encouraged, you feel welcomed, you feel heard, seen, you feel included. Who's somebody that does that for you? Who's somebody that helps you out and absolutely blows you away with presence? Now, I'm aware that I'm one of those people that changes the room, but I'm not one of those people that changes the room that makes you happier. I'm not one of the people who, when I come into the room, the party started. I'm one of those people, when I enter the room, I recognize that I bring protection, I bring safety, I bring truth, and I bring honor and respect to God into the room, which changes things. Sometimes when you're standing there and a police officer walks up next to you, their presence changes the environment. their ability, their strength, their ability to take away rights, their ability to restrain you, their ability to hurt you, their ability to save you, it changes everything that's going on in that moment. But I also think about a family pet, a sweet pet. I remember years ago when I was going through the darkest time in my life and I was absolutely hurting and I literally didn't like light, I didn't like conversation, I didn't like sound, and I was in a little tiny apartment and I was holed up in a back little room that basically was an expanded closet on a terrible futon with the lights off, laying on the futon, just exhausted. And I remember a precious dog we used to own. Her name was Kona. She would walk into the room slowly. She would edge up onto the futon, knowing that I didn't want physical touch, knowing that my skin hurt when you touched me, knowing that I was so aware of my surroundings that I didn't want sound, I didn't want light, I wanted nothing. And this precious dog would come and curl up right next to me as soft as she possibly could, and she would lay with me for hours, so close to me but not touching me. She knew that I needed her presence. And just her being in the room, being willing enough to be there with me, meant the world to me. Who are other people that have been in your life that have absolutely changed you with their presence? I think about questions I get asked by young men. They come to me and they say, "Pastor, I need to ask you a question." I say, "Sure." I said, "How did you know that you wanted to marry Danielle? How did you know that she was the one?" And I always answer, it was the star over her. It was the light coming down. It was God's voice speaking from heaven. "This is the one, you fool." No, that's not it. What I realized with Danielle is when I was in her presence, I was different. When I was around her, I was amazed, excited, thankful. I felt loved. And the way I knew that was when I wasn't in her presence. I knew something was missing. I knew that there was something that I wanted to be next to her my whole life, no matter what we were gonna go through. I remember in our vows that for richer or poorer, for sickness or health, I want to do this with you. I want to be in your presence, and I want to go on this journey with you. For many of us, we forget. We forget why we got into relationship. We forget why we connected to people. We forget what it is that we're doing. We lose focus on the mission. We think that someone's always supposed to make us happy, that God is always supposed to fill us with food and bring us ultimate pleasure, and we should never feel any pain. And we take that lie and we put that in our relationships. We take that lie and we put that in our work. We take that lie and we put that on our own bodies, that our bodies are only supposed to feel pleasure. We're never supposed to feel pain. And that's not the way that it works. I think about other people inside of our church, and I reached out and I asked some people for permission to be able to chat with them and talk with them and use their names as examples. But I think there's a lot of you in this church I could have used this example, but I'm going to use four people to describe. I think about these people inside of our church, and when they come in and they come into a room or they come into our environment, they change the room. I think about Holly. Holly's here inside of this mini church. I think about how Holly, when Holly is excited, when Holly's happy, when Holly's worshiping, when Holly is in love with God, it is infectious through the whole church. It is hard not to stand next to her and think God is good. She absolutely can change the room, which is why she's a worship leader. When she worships God, she leads us in worshiping him too. It's a no-brainer. We go, "Oh, she's worshiping, I should." And we just do it. Another person inside of our church that I think about can absolutely change the room is Rachel DeLeo. Rachel DeLeo can absolutely change the room with her hugs, with her smile, and I cannot wait to hug her when this pandemic is over. And she and I were texting back and forth. There's things that I miss from us gathering together, and you guys know I'm physical touch. I miss hugging Rachel on Sunday mornings. I miss her smiling. I miss her being so excited to worship God, and she is absolutely infectious with when she's in the room and she's excited and she's pumped. Her presence changes things. I think about Jen Parcio. Jen Parcio, she has infectious laughter. If you ever hear Jen Parcio laugh, you will laugh with her. She will absolutely crack you up. It's not that her laugh is comical. It's not that she laughs in a funny and a weird way. It's that when she laughs, she's genuinely laughing and you laugh with her. If you ever get the chance, you need to go with Jen Parcio into the woods and sit around something that's burning. And she will turn into a different woman. She absolutely changes the environment. You see, she's not a city girl. Who she is she is a God-fearing woman who loves him and is here because God has called her here. But if she had her choice, she would literally be wearing like skin from animals, walking in the mountains, eating honey out of trees, and literally foraging and grabbing salmon out of the river and eating it. Jen would be so pumped to be a nature woman. And what I want you to understand is that when she laughs, she changes the room. There's one more person I want to talk about. They change the room. And again, I could have listed a bunch of you guys. There's a lot of you who absolutely change the room. Some of you guys are thinking, Pastor, say my name. Well, if I didn't text message you last night, it's not you. So what I want you to know is Marlon Finley. Marlon Finley changes the room when he smiles. Have you seen that man smile? Have you seen him smile? He goes, meh, meh, meh. That's my Marlon impersonation. Meh, meh, meh. And then he goes, ging. It's like amazing. Like I literally, when I see Marlon smile, I'm like, wow. Yesterday I got to go and see him in a spot with celebrating a one-year-old birthday and out in the front yard with masks on. I saw him smile through a mask and I thought, man, I feel good. Even through a mask, Marlon can smile and change a street. And then we have Jesus who comes into the world and his presence changes everything. Join with me in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. 18 through 25. Matthew gives a real fast overview over the story of Jesus. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of God, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus. Even within that Christmas story, the presence of Joseph being with Mary, being present, staying with her, the Holy Spirit being present with Mary and conceiving a child, an angel being present and speaking to Joseph. There's so many things that have to do with the presence of God. Even the name Emmanuel, God with us, is talking about the presence of God. How cool is it that God chose to be present on earth, that God chose to interact, that God chose to be a part of what he wanted to make in this world, and that he didn't depart and just leave us, but he stayed with us. He redeemed us. He saved us from ourselves. Let's jump into the teaching together. Point number one, the presence of God evokes emotion. The presence of God evokes emotion. Emotions in all different directions. You can have fear. When God shows up, you read in the scriptures, people are afraid. So people are like, well, you shouldn't be afraid of God. What do you mean you shouldn't be afraid of God? as I kind of move and a toddler's going around with the camera, I try to go with you guys. So it's okay. It's mini church. It's family style. Just leave it. Don't even worry about it. So one of the things that I want you guys to understand and I want you guys to realize is that the presence of God evokes emotion. You can have fear. You can have hope. You can have comfort. You can have power. You can have healing. You can have joy. You can feel like you're being seen, that you're being noticed when you're in the presence of God. And you can feel love when you're in the presence of God. When we look at the Christmas story, just a fast overview, Herod felt fear. He was afraid of losing his power. He was afraid of losing his control. He was afraid of no longer being in charge. He was afraid that a new king was going to show up and take over. Herod was afraid. You have the wise men. They felt joy. They felt hope. They felt honor. You have the shepherds. They felt seen. They felt noticed. And you have Mary. She felt everything, right? But here's what's interesting. Our experiences, our past, what we've gone through absolutely helps us understand how we're going to interpret our experiences and our feelings and our emotions towards God. Maybe you've been scared in the past by what God has said or what God has done, which means that there might be a part of you that's scared of dealing with God. Maybe God has disciplined you. You did something you weren't supposed to do, and you feel like God is angry, that somehow God lost his mind because he corrected you because you were going to a place of destruction, and God didn't want you to go there. Maybe you've experienced God. You've experienced his love. You've experienced his grace. You've experienced his forgiveness. You've experienced absolutely redeeming and change in your life, and you felt his grace come all over you. And that's your expectations. You felt his love. You felt his tenderness. For some of you, you felt seen by God. That's absolutely going to paint the picture of how you view the world and what you see and what you're going through. You see, our experiences help us to experience God. Point number one is the presence of God evokes emotion. It presses emotion out of you. You can't hide it. You can't fake it. You can't pretend that you have it. It absolutely is there, and it's shown. Point number two, the presence of God produces faith. The presence of God produces faith. You can't produce faith. God's presence hovering over the earth with the Holy Spirit. Jesus walking around on the earth. God sending his angels, his messengers, his presence, his ambassadors on behalf of him. Those things produce faith in you and I. We can't think that we can produce faith. We can't think that we're going to make it, we're going to change it, we're going to do it. We have to let God do it and let him produce it. Why? Romans 1:17 says this, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous, you can't make yourself righteous. Jesus makes you righteous. The ones who are made righteous by somebody else will live by faith that comes from somebody else. You're not going to produce it. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith from God, it's impossible to please God. Stop trying to please God in your human effort. Cool prayer. God, how about you please yourself through me? Go ahead and use me. Here I am. I present myself to you. I give myself as a gift to you. Have your way with me, Lord. Do what you want. Point number one, the presence of God evokes emotion. Point number two, the presence of God produces faith. Point number three, the presence of God reveals truth. The presence of God reveals truth. When God shows up, you cannot lie. When God shows up, you cannot hide. When God shows up, you cannot pretend. It doesn't matter. The presence of God reveals truth. You see, it reveals my past, it reveals my present, and it reveals my future. You see what I just did there? I just set up the next three sermons. We're going to be talking about how God's presence involves and invokes and does and changes and deals with and handles my past. We're going to talk about how God, when he shows up, he's in my present. He is here now. And we're going to talk about God is in my future. His presence is in my future. What does that look like? You see, God has talked this way. When Jesus is talking about his disciples and he was calling them, he says, I saw you under the fig tree. I know who you are. In the past, before you came here, I already saw you. In present, when we deal with God and we're around him, we say things like, depart from me, for I am a sinner, God. When he is in our presence, we recognize we're wicked, which is one of the major reasons why we want to run from being in God's presence. We don't want to read scripture. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to hear a sermon. We don't want to go to a doctor and find out that we're overweight and we're eating way too much bacon. We don't want to know the truth. We like lying to ourselves. But when God is present, we recognize, depart from me, God, I'm a sinner. But also, when God says, hey, you guys can go on your own. You can go wherever you want to go in the future. We're like, wait a minute, God, we can't leave you. Where you go, I go. You are the one who holds life. You are the one who holds eternity. You are the one who holds forgiveness. I want to be with you forever. Even to the point that we learned a couple weeks ago that one thief on a cross would say, God, can I be with you in the future? And Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise. God is present. You will be with me in the future. How cool is that? The presence of God reveals truth. The presence of God deserves worship. Point number four. The presence of God deserves worship. We as humans are designed to worship. We as humans are designed to give love and attention and honor and words and clapping and celebration. Today, there'll be football games and there'll be very few fans in stadiums. It used to be the stadiums were filled and there would be thousands of people cheering for a football player. They would have a jersey on, a name, and they would cheer for different groups. There used to be times where we would go to concerts and a musician would get up and sing a song and people would cry and they would worship and they would raise their hands and they would express themselves. When God shows up in his presence, you and I worship. And worship can be falling on your face because your legs can't handle it anymore. I watched scenes from the 1960s where a bunch of guys who didn't know how to cut their hair came from England over to the United States. And a bunch of women now who are all grandmas couldn't stand falling on the ground crying because the Beatles had invaded. When we worship, our bodies absolutely respond. You see, the presence of God deserves worship. And what I want to help you out with is the way you want to worship isn't the way it's going to work because that would mean you're in control. When God shows up, he's in control, and you will worship the way he wants you to. Point number five, the presence of God is Emmanuel. The presence of God is Emmanuel. It means God with us. The presence of God is with us. The presence of God has always been with us. The presence of God is with us, and the presence of God for those of us who are in Christ, I got to be very careful with this theologically, will be with us forever in eternity. Sadly, those who do not choose Christ will be separated from God forever in eternity, and they will not be in his presence. You realize what hell is? Hell is not being in the presence of God. Whoa. You guys think it's a guy with red tights and a pitchfork and horns. You think it's fire. Do you realize what the pain and the torment is? The pain and the torment is God, the Creator, removing his presence from you forever. But what's really cool is at the end of the Christmas story, at the end of the gospel story, as we get to the very end, Jesus says something precious and beautiful about the presence of God. In John 14, 16, and 17, he says this, Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Those of us who believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord, those of us who believe that God sent his Son on this earth because we are sinners, those of us who believe that Jesus died and he was raised and he broke the bonds of death and set us free, and those of us who believe that Christ is the one who puts his righteousness upon us, those of us have been blessed with the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. God's presence is with you always. That's cool. That's amazing. You will never be alone in Christ because God's power, his personhood, who he is in you and with you. That's powerful. That's amazing. So let's jump into our application. The application as we talk about the presence of God is simply this, and it's simple and it's hard. Be in the presence of God. Be in the presence of God. Notice the word be. Circle the word be. I didn't say do the presence of God. I didn't say task the presence of God. I didn't say learn the presence of God. I didn't say talk about the presence of God. I wrote specifically be. Just be present. Just physically present yourself to God. Well, how do we do that? How do we move into just being in the presence of God? There's many books that are out there. Practicing the Presence of God is a great book. You can spend time reading that, but I'll just give you some fast overviews for the application. To be in the presence of God, you need to believe that Hebrews 13:5 is true, that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. If you have a foundational, if you have a stronghold inside of your brain that you believe that God has left you and God has forgotten you and God doesn't see you, then you have a serious problem and you have a serious lie sitting inside of your head and you have to start speaking truth to yourself. You have to define truth in your brain that God will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That you have to understand that right here and now, wherever you're at, the presence of God is right there. But Nathan, I don't feel it. Aha. Maybe you don't acknowledge it. Maybe you don't admit it. I'll get there in a second. First one is believe. The second one is get real. Get real. You want to be in the presence of God? Get real. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. God, I've been trying to do it on my own. God, I've been ignoring you. God, I've been running from you. God, I've been hiding from you. God, I have absolutely been doing opposite of what you asked me to do. Parents, when your kids come in and they get real, Mom, Dad, I'm really sorry. I've been incredibly selfish. I've been focused on me. And that's not good for anybody inside of this household. Will you please forgive me? You guys would lose your brains if your child came in and did that. What happens when your kids come in? They blame, they lie. Wasn't me, right? Get real. It was me. In fact, there's some stuff I did too that I don't even know that I did yet. I've forgotten so many sinful things that I've done. I just can't admit them all. So let's just own it. I am a sinner. Point number one, believe. Point number two, get real. Point number three, spend time with God. When you avoid reading scripture, when you avoid singing worship songs, when you avoid hearing testimonies about how good God is, let me help you out. You're avoiding being in the presence of God. To be in the presence of God, read scripture, read the Bible. To be in the presence of God, sing worship songs. Sure, you can be in the presence of Drake. You can be in the presence of Jay-Z. You can be in the presence of a country music Western star, which makes you even more of a sinner and in need of grace because you love country music. Amen. Praying for all those people right now. I'm almost going to pause the sermon and just pray for your whole soul and everything. But what I want you to understand is there's even people worse than that. They love metal. And so let's just pray for Darren. Okay? But what I want you guys to understand, get another hand over here. What I want you to understand is I'm joking around. I really don't care about musical genres. I'm just having fun. What I want you to understand is that you actually have to spend time with God. And what you spend time with is what you become. What you spend time with is what you become. You spend time with the pioneer woman, guess what you're going to become? You spend time with the great English holiday bake-off, guess what you're going to become? You spend time as someone watching sports, you're not going to become an athlete. You're not. You're going to be someone who watches athletes. But when you spend time with God, you become like God. Spend time with God. Read the Bible. Sing worship. Listen to testimonies, sermons. Read books that are pointing to God, that are saying that God is who you need to give your life to. Be around people who encourage you to go towards God. And fourth one, we learned this a while back. Tawny, who was here, taught just a simple phrase. Hello, God. Talk to God. Don't think about talking to him. Don't think about writing him a text. Don't think about how giving an email to him would be super cool. Don't think about maybe I should set up an appointment to Zoom call God. Actually, do it. It's not the thought that counts. Actually, do it. Just start out with, hello, God. Hello, God, I believe in you. I know you're in charge, and I got to get real, God. I'm kind of lost. I don't know what to do. Kind of frustrated. My physical and my mind, everything's starting to take over, King. I need your help. I need you to produce faith in me, God. Help. Help, God. Just talk to him. Just say hello. So to be in the presence of God, we need to believe, we need to get real, we need to spend time, and we need to talk. We also need to listen. Make sure you listen. God, is there anything you want to tell me? Hello, God, is there anything you want to say? Listen. All right, here's my close. As we talk about the presence of God, as we move forward in this time together as a church, as being present physically becomes super important and more important than ever, what I want you to hear is yes, there is going to be some physical distancing of humans in the coming winter, but the presence of God is not distance from you. The presence of God is not 6 feet away. The presence of God is up in you, on you, and in you and through you. The presence of God is here. Just be with him. Just be with God. Notice how Jesus loved to just hang out with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and just be at their house. Just wanted to be with them. How cool is that? But God, what do you want me to do? I just want to chill with you. Yes, but God, what do you want me to do? Can you just hang out with me? Yeah, but God, what do you want me to do? Would you just please be? There's nothing I need you to do. This Christmas, my family and I, we're having a wonderful conversation. What do you want for Christmas? Everybody's kind of looking around like, we're so blessed. We have almost everything we need, absent of a cure from COVID. I just want to be around you. I just want to just be with you. And that's the thing that I want to communicate to you guys this Christmas. Just be with God and be thankful for the physical presence of the people you get to be with. Sure, you can focus on all the presents that are not underneath the tree. Yes, you can focus on all the people you don't get to be around. You could go that direction and that route. That's called being critical. And as we learned in our cultural series, how do you move from critical to somebody who's a contributor? Become a contributor. Be thankful for what you're physically present with. And give thanks to God for what those things are. All right, let me close this out. Two verses I want to read to you. And I want to read these verses as a blessing to you. Normally when I end this thing, you hear me just kind of pray a blessing over you as a church. And I usually start out with, may God. What's really cool is in Scripture, that's where I get that rhythm from. We can see in Scripture here in Romans 15:13. It says this as I pray this over you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I have a simple question. Do you receive that blessing? If you receive that blessing, say out loud, I receive that. I'm going to say it one more time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I want to abound in hope. I'm receiving that. Here's another really cool verse. 2 Corinthians 13:14. I'm going to put the word may right in there. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want that. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the presence of God Almighty show himself to you. And may you just be with him. May God bless you guys and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And I cannot wait to get hugs from you guys when this whole COVID thing is over. Amen? All right, God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday. We will see you guys next week online.